Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What a powerful passage. This is probably one of the ones filled with more kinds of theology than many of the passages in Scripture. There's temptation, there's challenge, there's promise. And for today, I want to hone in on two of those, temptation and challenge. I want you to take just a few moments and follow me. I want you to try to think of yourself as being there with Jesus. Perhaps if you can kind of become one of those disciples. It doesn't use the word apostles, it uses disciples. So there's a good chance that there was people other than just the 12, maybe even some women. So maybe for the women, it might be easier if you imagine yourself a woman. They're out in the wilderness, probably sitting around a campfire, maybe just eating a simple meal of fish and bread, perhaps some dates. They're probably pretty dirty, pretty tired. They've been wandering, no place to stay. Probably been a long time since any of them have been inside in a house to sleep. But it's okay. Think of where you might have come from. If you're Peter, you were a fisherman. You had a thriving business. You had your own boats. You and your family. If you're Peter, you also left family behind. We know that he had at least a wife because there is a scripture where it talks about his mother-in-law. For the others, we don't know. We have little detail about these disciples. But they followed Jesus. They've gone out into the wilderness. They've traveled on by foot throughout the region. They've trusted this man. They have seen the miracles he's done. They've listened to his message of love. And they've come to understand him as the Messiah. Just a few short verses before this, in fact, Jesus and Peter have had a conversation about who do you say I am? Who do people say I am? And Peter has declared him the Messiah. Now you're Jewish. All of the disciples at this point were Jewish. So you have a very strong understanding of the Messiah. The Messiah is going to look a lot like David. Come, deliberate the people. This is the expectation that this man, Jesus, is going to liberate the Jews from the Romans. They've been living under very, very harsh conditions, in constant fear. And now suddenly, this man, this Jesus who you followed, who you've given everything up for, Matthew had been a tax collector, which means he was probably pretty wealthy. He gave that all up. And we don't know what positions the other people had. But suddenly, Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem. Now, this would be an exciting fact for the Jews because it was approaching Passover. And something all Jews wanted to do for Passover was to go to Jerusalem so they could celebrate at the temple. And Jesus says, we're going to Jerusalem. But then he says to you, but while we're there, I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be arrested. And yes, I'm going to be executed. Can you imagine how you were feeling at that time? You've given up everything for this man. And he's telling you now he's going away. This man you followed and have believed that is going to be your Savior, your Messiah, says he's going to be killed. Now he adds to that, but in 3 days I'm going to come back from the dead. And can you get your mind about that? Are you able to think about that? As all of you have lost loved ones, did you have any concept when they died that in 3 days they would come back? No, that's not the reality we understand. And that was the reality of that day when Jesus said, but I'm going to come back. So I'm sure there wasn't a lot of confidence in that fact. Instead, it's like, well, let's not go there. If this is the case, let's go someplace else. There's lots of places you can go to spend your message. That you can heal people and tell them about God. But Jesus is adamant. In fact, he says to Peter, who's the one that was saying, no, you can't go. And this is just a few verses after Jesus has declared to Peter, you will be the rock on which I build my church. He says to Peter, get behind me. Get away from me. I don't want to hear you. You're being a Satan to me. You're telling me I can't do what I know I'm called to do. You're trying to get in my way because you're not thinking about what God wants in your in our lives. You're thinking about what's good for you, what's easy. Get behind me, Satan. Now, if you're Peter, if you've chosen to be Peter, if you're trying to think in Peter's mind, how do you think you would feel? Hurt? You've been told you're going to be the church that Jesus builds, the rock Jesus is going to build his church on. And now this very man you love and have followed is calling you Satan, an evil one, somebody that's trying to get in the way. I'm sure Peter was devastated, hurt, unable to understand how this man he loves could be so cruel to him and have declared that he's actually going away. And then Jesus continues, if you want to follow me, you too are going to have to take up your cross. Now, in that we've kind of come to understand that cross as being something that's difficult, something we don't want to do, something that would be much easier to not do. But for that, in that day and age, for you that are there with Jesus, you had a very real understanding of that cross. Not as something figurative, but as something that lined the roadways going into Jerusalem. In fact, as they were going into Jerusalem, there's a good chance they would have seen crosses there, with people hanging on them, a slow, painful death. Many of the people that died on the crosses would actually die from thirst because they would just be left there. So can you imagine what it's like to hear this man saying to you, if you want to follow me, you too have to be prepared to go to the cross. That would have been a very, very difficult thing to hear. If somebody said to you, if you want to follow me, you're going to be guaranteed death. You'd probably say, maybe not so much. And yet there's people that do that. They followed Jesus, and yes, some of those that followed him after his death did end up on the cross themselves, or with other forms of death besides the cross, equally painful and cruel. But they did have that promise that there would be something better in the future. Let's jump forward another almost 2,000 years, the late 1800s and 2000s, and let me share the story with somebody else. This was a man that was born in Alsace-Lorraine. His father was a Lutheran pastor. He was a gifted theologian, a gifted musician, played the organ and learned the piano, had a degree in theology, became very active for the church, could have had just about anything he wanted. He studied under some of the best musical, gifted, talented people at the time, had a big thing for restoring organs. Bob, I thought of you when I was reading that about him. He wanted to see organs not be let go to rack and ruin, but be saved to be restored. Had many books that came out. One of the best known is probably the In Pursuit of the Historical Jesus. Suddenly he received a call. He was told he was supposed to go to Africa and be a doctor. Now the challenge was, one, the people that were looking for a doctor in Africa were an evangelical organization and they didn't like his Lutheran theology. But more importantly, he wasn't even a doctor. He could have easily been deterred. Even though he felt this call, he could have said, no, not so much. I go back to doing my theology and my music, writing my books. But you know what he did? He went to medical school and became a doctor. 3 years later, when he had that medical degree and he was prepared, he went back to him and said, okay, you need to send me because this is what I feel God wants me to do. And so they did. He went to Africa and he started a hospital. After 4 years, he was so sick he went back to Europe, but he ended up kept going back and forth. He had married a woman who was an anesthesiologist while he was in school, and she went with him. After 4 years, they did go back, and she ended up not being able to go back because the situation in Africa was so bad, her health was too bad to go back. But he kept going back and back and back for the rest of his life. Probably it's a name you all know. Albert Schweitzer. He could have easily said, okay, Lord, come up with another call. He could have accepted that Satan in his life who said, that must not have been the real call because you don't have the qualifications and we're not going to send you. But he didn't. He accepted his cross and did amazing work. The hospital is still there today. When I was at seminary, there was Louisville Seminary has a furlough house for missionaries on campus. I met a couple and their three kids who were on furlough, had been stationed in the Congo in Africa. He taught agriculture, and she was a nurse. This was the third time they had been evacuated from the Congo because it was so dangerous. And they had made the decision this time that because of the children, they wouldn't put their lives in so much danger. They weren't going back to the Congo. But they could have easily said, okay, send us to someplace nice and simple. We've been living in very difficult situations, but they didn't. They wanted to go back to Africa, And so after their year furlough, they did, the three kids and them. He put his life in danger to go back to Congo to rescue all their personal belongings because they had actually left them there when they left. It would have been easy for them to listen to the Satans in their life that said, you got three kids, you know, let's take it easy for a while. Go find something else to do. God put me in a nice, easy area, but they didn't. They understood what their cross was, and that was to serve in a continent that so desperately needs the gifts they had, the teaching about agriculture, the caring for the sick, and so they returned. I saw them several years later when they came back on another furlough, and they were actually, one of the things missionaries do when they're on furlough is they go around the country talking to churches, trying to get support for their mission. And they happened to come to the church I was serving in St. Pete. People who heard their call, who knew what their cross was, and were willing to respond in spite of those things that happen in our lives that seem to say to us, choose another path. That one's too difficult. Surely, God, you must have something else for us, because I'm just not up to it. I know each of you have things that you feel or you're being held back from doing. Each of us have our crosses to bear, those things that we're called to do that we may or may not respond to. Many people that go to seminary will tell you that they heard the call many, many, many years before they actually went to seminary. I was one of those. I actually heard the call first when I was in middle school, and I was in my 40s when I finally went. And that's not unusual. Because we hear the call, we're told what our cross to bear is to do one thing, and it's too difficult. There's things in our head that are saying, no, we've got too much in life. We've got kids. I don't have the money right now. I just can't handle it. What is it in your life that is your cross to bear? What is it that you feel you're being called to do? That maybe there's something that's keeping you from doing it. Maybe you feel you're too old. Maybe you don't have the money. But maybe there is some way you can do it, or at least something that's in that same area that God's calling you to do, to reach out to other people. Whose life can you touch? What Satan can you put behind you that will allow you to be the person God wants you to be? Yes, as we get older, it becomes more difficult. But there's things we can do. I look around this congregation, and I'm amazed at some of the things people in this congregation do. In spite of their age, because in spite of health issues they're having. Because when we have God there telling us we can do it, it's amazing what we can do. How we can touch other people's lives. Because that's what God calls us to. Jesus said at the end of this that not all of you will be gone before you see me come. But you know what? Jesus is here. Jesus is now. It says in Scripture, the kingdom of God is here, and we are a part of that kingdom. And I challenge each of you this week as you go out, look for those ways that you can touch people's lives. Ways you can take up your cross and maybe step out and do something a little bit that's uncomfortable for you. Because when we do that, we are taking up our cross. We are showing Jesus to the world. We know that there's Christians that people look at and say, if this is Christian, I don't want to be that. We can't be that kind of Christian. If we want to make a difference in the world, we have to be a Christian that shows truly that we're willing to go the extra mile, that we're willing to look for people whose lives need touched, that need a prayer, that just need a hand up. Put aside your Satans. Find your cross and find the way you can make a difference in the world this week and every day. Amen. Take up your cross and follow me. A very scary thought, isn't it? To go just a little bit beyond where you've been. To put yourself out on the line just a little bit. But this song said it. When you do, you have that confidence, that faith, that promise that Jesus is with you. That God will lift you up and give you the strength for whatever you need to face. That is our charge. Don't let fear keep you from doing what you feel called to do. Because God will be there with you every step of the way. Go now in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.